blah club, you can blah 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Femme Concept.
You are listening to Femme Concept
with your hosts Eleanor
and Erica.
Friday from 1 to 2 p.m.
on CITR. On CITR Radio 101.9. We play 100% FemmeCon.
100%.
It's a lot of FemmeCon.
It's a lot of FemmeCon. And you know what? Stick it to the man.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/Hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Every weekday from Tuesday, September the 6th to Wednesday, September the 14th, CITR will be hosting Live at Lunch, a live concert series taking place right outside the UBC Nest. Come by to see some of Vancouver's best bands play for free, or tune in to CITR 101.9 FM to hear the show, featuring Les Chaussettes, Mesa Luna, Ashley Shadow, Devourers, Hazy, Mirepoix, and Mare Patineau. That's every weekday between September 6th and 14th, live outside the UBC Nest and on air at
CITR 101.9 FM.
Brought to you by the UBC AMS and CITR, and also thanks to the sponsors Scotiabank, TD, Milk West, Y Yoga, Sage, and Evo. Lunch is served.
Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, I'm on the guest list. Yeah. Who is headlining here tonight? Yeah, I'm on their list. Oh, well, I should be on there, so...
Looking for that cool band Buzz?
Jeez, I don't know what to tell you.
Shindig is CITR's annual Battle of the Bands. Every year, Vancouver bands compete for prizes including studio time, festival spots, media coverage, promotions, and more. We are now accepting submissions. Please send your demo of original material of at least 3 songs to shindig.submissions@gmail.com. Contact info must include your email and phone number. All genres welcome. Join a 33-year-old legacy of great Vancouver music. For more info, find the CITR Shindig page on Facebook.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Comedy Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, which, as you may know, is a bit of a debate slash chit chat slash... lots of cool music show, so stay tuned for that afterwards. But coming up right away is the White Noise Show. So if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, it's Facebook and Twitter is at White Noise UBC. And of course, you can keep up with the best of White Noise at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. And I'm joined in the studio now by Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley, stars of the show. How are you guys doing?
Hello, hello, hello.
Good, good. Glad to be back in school. Get to sleep in a bit. The best.
I'm very happy you introduced me as the star of a show. That's definitely the best
interaction I've had maybe yet.
Yeah, you prefer that to special friend?
Special friend just makes you sound a little bit
like you're my pity friend.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm joined by my special friend. Mom, I brought him on tonight. Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll just... No, it's just going to get beaten. All right, let's play this show.
It makes you sound like we're lovers.
Yeah, well...
Which we're not.
Yeah, I promise, Sierra, we're not.
anyway. I'm really worried.
Don't worry, I promise you too.
Good. All right, here we go. Here's the show. This is a bit of white noise.
Warning. The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Ollie's Ostentatious Orgies. It's fancy fucking. First up tonight, someone's arguing.
Morning.
Hi.
Sup.
Where is my yop? Hey, answer me. Who's eating my yops?
Don't look at me.
I didn't eat them.
Then who did? The yogurt pixie? Or maybe this will be a repeat of last time and you'll blame Obama.
I didn't say I didn't take them. I said I didn't eat them.
Then where are they?
I smeared them.
You smeared them? Where?
Depends on the flavor.
Jesus Christ, Dennis. That's it. You're out of here.
Oh, come on. I'll give you back the $5 they cost. And the photos.
I don't want your photos or you in this house any longer.
Fine. If that's the way you feel, son.
My father wasn't a smearer, but he and the dog were definitely doing something weird with the peanut butter. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening, and welcome to Creepy Conversations. I'm Brad Stoker, and tonight I'm joined by two-time Strong Creature Champion, three-time World Kickboxing Champion, and fairy Betty Butterwings.
Hello, Brad. I see you've been working out.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're not gross anymore.
So what is it like to be such a true life contrast?
I don't think I am a contrast, Brad. I'm well-rounded. I can break your neck with my hands, and with my wand, I can turn you inside out.
Wow, that seems like dark magic.
It was originally designed for doing laundry, folding linens, but we adapted it.
Oh, that's very creative of you. So, fairies should not be taken lightly.
Well, some of them are a bunch of vegans, you know the type. But you get a few hard nuts like me.
So, when did you begin to notice that you were different to other fairies?
I don't think it dawned on me until I knocked some girl's teeth out, so around grade 2.
Well, at least it was baby teeth, perhaps?
Nah, I made sure of that.
So, what's next for the most accomplished warrior in the professional combat?
I'll just keep fighting until I fall in battle. I presume it will be sometime around my 90th birthday, then my speed is bound to slow. Obviously, the wings help, though.
One thing that sticks out in your stats is your fight total.
Yes, I do have 700 bouts total, 699 wins and 1 decapitation.
That is an immense fight rate of nearly once a week during your career.
Well, being immortal, you don't take a lot of damage, and God is actually on your side.
But you're not an angel?
We're basically junior angels. I just need 6 more stamps on my card and I'm in.
And how do you get a stamp?
Either by winning the annual egg and spoon race, guessing how many beans are in the jar, or, of course, killing heretics.
Ah, it's the same at this radio station. Do you feel fairies are treated well in our society?
I think it's up to fairies to stand up for themselves.
Well, that's easy for you to say when you could kill anyone you meet.
I wasn't born a killer. I practiced.
Couldn't you just buy a gun?
Guns break.
So do arms.
You don't get championship belts with guns.
You could get an Olympic medal.
Don't make me hit you.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. Join us again next week for some more creepy conversations.
I'd love to try kickboxing. I've always wanted to kick a box. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Well, this is certainly an improvement over the park.
Yeah, why don't we nick an ambulance sooner? Hello?
Hi.
Shut up, you.
Hello? Help!
Oh, hi.
My mum fell over. I think she had a heart attack.
Oh, shit, that's pretty serious.
Please, help her.
Oh, right. Come on, Carl. Let's go.
Right, because we're ambulance men.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, paramedics.
Mum, I got the paramedics.
What do we do, Neil?
Maybe give her, like, the kiss of life thing.
Oh, okay.
No, Carl, not with your tongue.
I think she just needs to go to the hospital.
Well, how are we going to get there?
Your ambulance.
Well, it's not really ours.
Carl, go and get the bed thingy.
The bedpan?
No, the Guernsey.
Nice try. I am not going to fall for that one.
Hurry!
Quiet, you. We're doing you a favour. You go get the jersey if you want it so badly.
Fine. You keep trying the kissing thing. All right, let's get her on it. Lift at the knees.
Aren't you meant to lower her?
Oh, right. No, this one's like new ones. Yeah, just tighten her up, Carl. Ready? Three, two, one. Oh, never mind. She's dead.
What?
Don't worry about it, hun. Happens all the time.
And that's why you should never steal an ambulance. Steal a cop car. They're pretty useless. Next up tonight, someone is upset.
Want to watch some Spike TV?
No.
How about something on the Playboy channel?
No, not tonight.
Fine. Skidamax it is.
Sandra, just stop.
What?
It's over.
They cancelled Skinamax? Why?
No, us. I'm breaking up with you.
What the fuck?
Look, it's not you.
Cut the crap. No more cliches. Just give it to me straight.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're just not enough of a feminist.
Pardon?
You know what I'm talking about. I mean, the way you always have to reduce women to their appearance.
Everyone does that.
The way you never let me cry.
After I see a man cry, I can't have sex with him. That's just a fact.
And you know what? I like baking. Deal with it.
Wow, are you sure you're not gay?
What does that have to do with cake? I wasn't planning to make a dick-shaped cake and shove it up my ass. And even then, if I did it in a loving relationship with a woman for prostate stimulation, you still got nothing.
You are such a pussy.
I tried to be a feminist, but I like shaving my armpits. Next up tonight, it's Future Historians.
Good evening, and welcome to Future Historians. Today, we are excavating the site of an early millennium fraternity house. A place where people met to exchange ideas, stories, and sexually transmitted diseases. Our first find at the site was a perfectly preserved hip flask with a picture of an ancient tribe known as the Wu-Tang Clan. It contained a liquid with alcohol present in it. We believe it was used by young humans to compensate for a lack of social skills and interesting things to say. Let's take a look at what else the team have found today. Alan, what do you have there?
this is what is referred to as a jock strap.
Ah, and its use was?
I think it was used as a sort of face shield. See how it fits the contours of my cheeks? Ooh, but this person seems to have had terrible breath.
Marvellous! And Rita, what's that you're holding?
This odd-looking tube and funnel thing was called a beer bong and was used to ingest beer quickly, most likely through the rectum.
It does get you drunk quicker. And lastly, Claire, what do we have here?
Well, Tiny, this is quite remarkable. It is a still-intact inflatable doll.
Oh, for a child to play with?
No, these were used by lonely young men when they needed someone to hold.
Interesting, because I would have thought people had sex with them.
The frat was on a school campus, not a desert island.
Well, that's the end of this week's Future History. Oh, wait, I just found something. Oh, no, never mind. Just another Pizza Pop wrapper. Join us again next week.
I love Pizza Pops. Right out of the microwave, which means my mouth is permanently too burnt to taste anything else. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore, burping, burning, and binging. This isn't Disneyland!
It's just through these doors.
Oh no, you're trying to get me tested again!
Now, Richard, if you just answer the doctor's question, I promise afterwards I won't hit you.
Oh, flip off, you flipping twonk!
Are you having a stroke?
No. I told him I'd buy him a carton of ciggies if he didn't swear for 24 hours.
How can I help?
Oh, Richard has an appointment with Dr. Feely.
Last name?
Blackmore.
You're 5 minutes late.
We were having a smoke. I'm trying to keep him calm.
Should he really be smoking at 11 years old?
He's fine. He's gotten the hang of it. Always ashes in the ashtray. He's a good boy, really. Richard, don't light that on fire.
I was just pretending.
Sit.
Well, you can go through. The doctor will be with you soon. Or whenever he feels like it.
It's been forever.
It's only been 4 minutes. Relax.
If he tries to section me, I'm gonna go mental.
Don't exacerbate things, mate.
I wouldn't do that in public.
No, exacerbate. To make things worse.
I know, masturbating will make things worse.
Oh, hi, guys. Great to see you all. Hey, Richard, how you doing, little buddy?
Have we met before?
No.
Because you're very chummy for a stranger. Are you a nonce?
Richard!
It's okay, Mrs. Blackmore. I need to observe Richard's typical behaviour.
What's wrong with him, Doc? I'm guessing psychopath.
I need more than a moment's chat to determine the entire mental state of your son, Mr. Blackmore. Give me at least 10 minutes. Well, after carefully observing Richard for the past 8.5 minutes, I have come to determine that he is suffering from what professional psychologists call feeble-mindedness.
Feeble-mindedness?
Yes.
Is it contagious?
No.
So, is it curable?
No, but it's treatable. You just need to get him into being like a professional sportsman or a job in marketing, somewhere no one will notice.
I do not have fetal midgetness.
Fetal-mindedness, Richard.
No, it's feeble-mitousness, Alice.
No, feeble-mindedness.
Here, that one. So, is this from some vaccination we gave him?
No, nothing like that.
I bet it was when I dropped him in Ibiza.
I told you not to take him clubbing.
How else was I going to breastfeed him while I was drinking?
I'm sure it's both your fault he's this way, but now you can only move forward, not backwards.
Oh, yeah? Well, just watch us. Come on, guys. We don't need to listen to this quack. You're as bad as the last 6 doctors we went to. Richard, here now.
Fetal midget. I'll give you fetal midget.
Alice, wait. Feeble-minded? Couldn't you come up with something a little bit more believable?
Well, next time, pay me more than 50 quid.
They never did give me an official diagnosis, but I did get quite a few official warnings. Next up tonight, someone's getting fired.
As you know, we here at Gibson & Sons have been going through some trying fiscal periods and therefore are unfortunately going to have to make some cuts to the workforce.
You mean you're going to fire me?
Some people will be let go.
But I'm the only person who works here.
So the likelihood is it will affect you.
But I'm the son in Gibson & Sons. You can't fire me.
This is the problem. You don't understand business. I can fire you. It's not personal.
It's very personal, Dad.
And now you go and throw that in my face. I mean, I had sex with your mother one time and it haunts me forever.
If I leave, who's going to do all the work? You're never here.
Someone cheaper. Some people aren't greedy. They don't ask me for a livable salary.
I thought we were a team. And one day I would inherit it and it would be me and my son running the best furry club in town.
Furry club? We're not a furry club.
Then why do you think everyone in here wears a tail?
I just thought there was something funny in the water around here. Hang on, are you saying my club is now a fetish club?
Yes, has been for the past 10 years. Why do you think we sold so many dog biscuits?
Son, I'm sorry I doubted you. That is genius. But we should diversify, you know, get some of that bull gag and gimp cash too.
If it makes you money, do it until someone tells you not to. That's basically what you learn at Harvard Business School. Next up tonight, someone's buying something.
Hi, welcome to Wireless AIDS. How may I help you?
Hi, I'm looking for a really simple phone.
Well, this one has basic Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, GPS, calculator, radiator, and baconator. Nothing fancy.
No, just to call people.
They all call people.
But that's it, nothing else.
Not even Snapchat?
Nope.
Maybe Snake?
No.
A little porn?
No, not even texting, just calls. And not even calls in, just calls out.
I have just the thing. It's called a corder, and it goes in a payphone.
Using payphones. Very hard to have phone sex at a gas station. Next up tonight, Mario is trying to save the princess.
Hello, princess. Where are you? I killed the spiky bastard all for you. Oh, hello, Toad. Where is the princess?
Well, sorry to have to break it to you, but she's been taken to another castle.
What? Again? Oh, this happened to the last 7 castles. You've got to be kidding me.
I'm really sorry. You just keep missing her.
Do you realize how many times I've fallen into the lava? How many times I've stamped to death Goombas? How many times I decapitated the Koopas?
I know. It must have been really tough.
Tough? I haven't slept in weeks. If I turn off, I have to start again. How fucked up is that?
I'm sure that's something they'll fix eventually.
No. Fuck him. I'm going home.
What about the princess?
She can save her own skin. This is 2016, for God's sake.
We can all sympathize with Mario. I've been meaning to save my girlfriend from that dragon for ages. Next up tonight, men are on the prowl.
Hey, baby, let me buy you a drink.
Okay, sure.
2 double whiskeys, my good man. What would you like?
Just a lager, please.
A lager for the lady, my good man.
That's a woman.
Well, if she won't wear any makeup, what does she expect? So, what do you do?
Me? I'm a student.
Let me guess. Human kinetics?
No.
Drama?
No.
Psychology?
No.
Well, those are all the hot girl subjects. So what do you do?
Engineering.
No, get out, get out.
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
No, no, each to their own. It's just not a lifestyle choice I really agree with.
Well, what do you do?
Well, my job is merely to support my true passion,
Oh, and what's your real passion?
I am a prestige level 10.
A what?
Black Ops.
You're a soldier.
Yeah, ever since Call of Duty 1. Even hold the touchdown record on my copy of Madden 16.
You mean in a game?
Yeah, but I'm talking legendary mode.
Well, here's my hidden talent. See ya.
But you haven't given me your number yet. Oh, come on. I completed Bloodborne in 2 days.
Did you say Bloodborne in 2 days?
No walkthrough, no forums.
That's hot.
I play to 100% completion every time. I'm talking every item, every unlockable, every last inch of the map.
Oh.
I've won the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, the Heisman Trophy, the Champions League, even the Masters.
Oh, take me here!
I never wasted my money on video games. I preferred to save my pocket money for cigarettes. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that sketch comedy. There will be another White Noise Show next week, of course, another brand new half hour of it. And if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, make sure you do by liking us on Facebook and Twitter at White Noise UBC. We got Blackmore up on Twitter doing his banter, playing the hashtag wars, all that fun stuff, so check him out. And we'll be definitely posting lots of content to our Facebook page too, so check him out when you can. But yeah, we're about to do the White Noise after show, which means we're going to do our debates and our kick-ass music. Yeah, so we got Connor, we got Sierra in the studio tonight. What do you guys think of tonight's episode? How are you feeling?
You can ask that.
I was feeling really original.
It felt really redundant.
I like the disparity here. So why was it original?
Because we had different people doing familiar parts.
So that doesn't sound very original.
Well, I think what Sierra means
the
is
voices.
Reinvention.
Yes, yeah, reinvention. That was good. I like the reinvention of it.
Yeah, the reason, if you were curious why we were rehashing some stuff over the last couple of weeks, the reason we've been doing it is we are working towards doing a live show, probably sometime in October is our guess at the moment. We're trying to get a studio theatre booked for that. So yeah, we're going to be taking some of this stuff and doing it live, which is really exciting. So we'll be definitely keeping you guys updated with information in terms of tickets.
Giving recommendations for skits you've heard over the radio, you think it would do
the script is written, but we're still playing with it. So like, if you have a thought that you want to throw in there about a sketch you want to see or you think would be good live, send us your thoughts at whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. That'd be, yeah, please. But yeah, without further ado, I think it's time for
play
a bit
some
of music.
Killer music.
So first on the bill tonight, we're going to play something by a band we've never played before. And it's an interestingly named song. This is Frankie Sinatra by The Avalanches.
Frank Sinatra, Frankie, me boy, you don't know. You have a goofy voice to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frankie, me boy, you don't know. You have a goofy voice to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frankie, me boy, you don't know. You have a goofy voice to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie Sinatra. Sinatra, Frankie, me boy, you don't know. You have a goofy voice to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie, me boy, you don't know. You have a goofy voice to sing calypso.
Office rocker, he's office rocker. Please, Mr. Officer, I only had some vodka, little marijuana, just a few bacon and
the swerving while I hear while I'm driving. Player registration, OT license. Cause of that interior, your bitch wanna ride it. Straight red bow jack, dick got low jack. White House calling and the accent where they don't work. What? Whatever. Man on day, Sammy had a rope with that Sinatra. Up a pasta sprayer in her mouth like Menaka. Listen in the sound, rap, rhythm of maracas. M.I.A. on the toe, get up in that Sri Lanka.
In Calypso. What did they say? Ah, Frankie Sinatra. Ah, Frank Sinatra. Frankie, me boy, don't know. You have a goofy voice to sing Calypso. What did they say? Frankie, me boy, don't know. You have a goofy voice to sing Calypso.
I'm so high, you're so high. If I take another step, then I test my die. Take another step, then I test my life. Tell her what she wanna hear just to get between them thighs. Underground.
Rhymes since the days with Frankie Crocker Rock. From a stocky stock, known for his illy right hook to make Rocky block. That's no poppycock pirate. We can keep it irie, or we can keep it irie. Ty Lee, we keep it 100. From the heights and all the lights, selling coffee muffin. Come with that headbang, a boogie for that ass. Will I give a bully 10 noogies for the cash? Dash, dip slow on a marathon. Or maybe he goes in Calypso like Farrakhan. Or Frank Sinatra, man.
All right, there you go. That was Twin River with Settle Down off Passing Shade. Cracking tune there, in good my song, opinion. Yeah.
And how good was that first one, am I right?
It was
classic.
Was that a Connor pick or a Sierra pick?
Oh, we listened to it, and both of us turned to each other and went, yes.
Literally,
it just had groove to it. It had, like, the sampling.
It was unexpected. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
A little bit out of the mold.
I think you're right. It could do very well. We'd be curious to see how that band goes from here.
The album that song was from, Wildflower, has already been, like, really quite critically acclaimed.
That's what I mean. So whether that turns into actual popularity and, you know, worldwide appeal remains to be seen. But, you know, that has, you know, Florence and the Machine did it a couple of years ago where these bands, like huge reviews and then became massive. So, interesting to see.
We heard them first.
Here we are in White Noise, you know.
Yeah.
Any band who's played here is sure to go on to international stardom.
Just like the Strumbellas. Right?
Yeah, but in all seriousness, if you're listening right now and you're in a band and they kick ass, send in your music to our show, and if we love it, we'll definitely play it. We want to support any wicked artists out there.
We only discriminate against bad music.
Yeah, literally. So, yeah, send in anything you have to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com or send it to the CITR radio station, Attention White Noise, and we'll get it. All right, but without further ado, our first topic of the night, I defer to Connor to introduce. Go ahead.
So, I was reading this article on BBC recently that universities in the UK are now trialling this system of name-blind admissions, meaning that when the admissions people take in new recruits, they screen them so that the admissions people never see any names. They only get the kind of writing samples, the grades, the extracurriculars, the resume of sorts. And I think that's it's an interesting time. I think there's a lot of repercussions, perhaps, because it's something you don't think of off the top of your head when you're considering admissions. But evidently, there's enough evidence to suggest that admissions people are guided by certain biases that this program should have come about. So do you guys have anything to say about that?
Well, did the report say what biases have been shown to exist to the warrants?
It didn't really sort of touch on that too much. It was just talking about how the trialing this new system. But yeah, it's interesting because I would never think, if I had been in the position of admissions person, to say, oh, Brian. We don't need another Brian out. But obviously, it probably goes as the roots are probably deeper than that. It probably does touch on perhaps racial or even gendered racial or gendered names. Certain ethnic groups have names that sound very different than what you're used to in a sort of predominantly sort of Caucasian kind of Western world. So in the UK, especially, it's interesting to see where that leads. What the results of that.
Hmm.
I guess your gender would probably still be labeled on the admission, and perhaps your race as well. What's your biggest hope with that, Simon?
Yeah, I mean, if it is a problem, of course it's something they should address. Because it seems to me that it would be something that perhaps affects a few of the admissions people. But they would have a really, it would affect them a lot, and it affects them constantly in their job. Whereas others, it probably doesn't affect at all, and would never come into it. So it'd be curious to see what the difference would be before and after in terms of if there was a sudden demographic shift within certain universities, which is probably what would happen, and some would maybe stay as they are. This university doesn't seem to, at least in my experience here, I don't feel like there's a lot of discrimination at this university in acceptance. Like, we have such an awesome,
very diverse
diversity at this uni. Yeah,
they don't discriminate on race, but finances might be another matter.
why do you say that, Sierra? You think?
I've heard rumors that it's easier to get in as an international student with a certain, family financial stability, but I mean, it does make sense given the international fees here, but maybe that's just the measure.
So you mean that the university favor international students? I sort of know what you're referring to, and perhaps it is a rumor, but that so the Canadian government makes UBC take in X amount of domestic students and X amount of I think international students, but then after that they can still kind of go either way, and the UBC more heavily opt to choose for international students and domestic students once they've hit those kind of minimums.
Interesting, because the average going in this year, apparently, for high school students was 90%.
Grade-wise? Or...
Yeah, that was the average.
Wow.
I mean, I got in as a mature student, and so I don't think my high school marks were particularly used because they weren't worth looking at in the first place, so I couldn't possibly. So I assume it was just that I wrote this big letter explaining why my life experience had led me to wanting to go to university, and I was ready now, and so I think that's what blagged my way into the university. But
it does amaze me that
I definitely didn't have 90%.
Yeah, I don't think I did either.
I was probably borderline.
No, you weren't.
But returning to the admissions thing, though, I find it really interesting because presumably on your admissions, you have, so it says your name, whatever, and then it says your gender, where you're from, and then so your resume, your extracurriculars, your grades. So removing the name from that equation, presumably you still know, like, what ethnicity the person is, where they're from, what their gender is.
Okay, but even if you didn't know the ethnicity of the gender, if they've had to write essays about their experience to try and get into the university, surely that will reveal enough information that you could probably make a very educated guess upon their gender.
Or their social standing.
Maybe their social standing, their background. You know, there could be quite a lot you could infer from... Because, what I just talked about, the letter I wrote, definitely painted a very strong picture.
Mosaic, you might say.
if you want to be pretentious. Of who I was. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like it's a foolproof plan.
Is there a point to it, do you think? What does it... besides...
Well, if there's data to support there's a problem, and that's what I said to you originally, was, well, what was the problem? And no one seems to be able to know why they're doing it. So, but there clearly must be.
Something. Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't do it otherwise unless it's just an attempt to appeal to certain interest groups who think that the system might be stacked against them or something like that. I don't know. It's curious.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether things will change that much.
I don't think it's going to do what they want it to do. I think if they implement it, no one's going to be very happy with the results. What's going to happen, they're going to go name blind on it, and then they're going to end up admitting, I'm sorry, but way too many white people, and then everyone's going to backlash or be furious with it, and it's going to go further.
Why do you think that? Why white people?
I think just, like, given the opportunities, I can't speak for the UK, but at least, like, in the United States, where I grew up, there were, like, just the socioeconomic kind of system tended to give more advantages to Caucasian students, and there was definitely a racial divide in the different school systems. So I grew up in, like, a wealthy suburb, right? And there was definitely a huge racial bias there versus, you know, people in different environments, such as, like, inner city Chicago is what they would always say, are given different opportunities, different extracurriculars, different experiences to speak about. So, yeah, maybe it's different in the UK, but I don't think anyone would be happy with the results.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the UK, you definitely have the sort of, just an issue with education in lower income areas not being as good because teachers aren't as enthralled, you know, good teachers aren't as enthralled about working in those areas, so they tend to go towards, you know, more affluent areas. And, like, because I mean the school I went to, a good school in England, but it was in, like, a very decent area that it was just we were just on literally the edge of the catchment area, and we were lucky. And the schools that did the worst in the area were schools in the lowest economic area, you know, economically challenged areas of the city.
Right.
So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of problems with even trying to implement this. I don't know. Well, remains to be seen.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the university admission process is a chance to kind of, like, bridge those social divides and, like, allow people to perhaps, like, progress from where their parents were. And so by not being blind about the admissions process, you can perhaps be a little more sensitive to people's backgrounds and the opportunities they had growing up.
Fair enough. All right, let's play a song. We'll come back with a new topic. Up next is ESL with Liar's Bridge.
Building old-fashioned churches at breakneck speed, when any fool can see that what they really need are toilet stalls and hospitals. When the sun goes down, you can watch it stink and bleed from the Liar's Bridge inside.
Of my powers. Now I will pass solar judgment on this pitiful city. Forests, burn! Ocean, burn! Yoga Fest, burn! What's this? Discorder Magazine. Ooh. Ah.
Discorder July August Summer issue featuring articles on Leisha Sets, Tempest, Eileen Bryant, Gal Grayson, and an art feature by Puppy Teeth, plus much more. Find Discorder around Vancouver at cafes, venues, record stores, and online at discorder.ca. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, the Astoria Audio Pile, Davy Street Party, Don't Argue Pizzeria, Hastings Crossings BIA, Castellano Block Party, Live Van, Pressing Matters, Redgate, Reggae Fest, the Rickshaw Theater, the Rio Theater.
Time go, my heart.
right, there you go. That was Autumn Still with Lines. All right, so for our next topic, Sierra's going to introduce it. Go ahead, Sierra.
Yeah, so we live in the city of Vancouver, where it's almost more likely to see someone with a joint than a cigarette walking down the streets. So tonight we're going to talk about...
Yeah, because cigarettes are bad for you. But...
right, of course. Simon smokes both, coincidentally. And
not at the same time. But...
Although, would look, that would be ridiculous.
Drinking beer at the same time.
I've done that before, and apparently it's really bad for you. So, well, not like, you know, just like one, not literally the same time.
They
not,
think
that
looks...
would be ridiculous.
Cake stand.
But yeah, carry on.
So anyway, we were going to talk about the legality of it, a.k.a. legalizing
it. Should
it
be legalized?
Yes. Which it seems like it will in next April 20th.
Right. But what's your thoughts, Sierra?
So my thoughts are, I think actually less people would smoke it if it were legal, which would be interesting, because I think it would be harder to get than it is now, at least in Vancouver. What are your thoughts?
I thought you were going to be anti-legalization. I thought that was...
No, I'm anti-weed smoking, but I don't think I'm going to get my way. So I'll just compromise for what I can get. I think,
okay, but why are you anti-weed smoking?
I really don't care what people get up to, but the smell bothers me a lot.
The smell? So
yes. Fundamentally.
Anti-stinky weed.
I'd probably smoke it myself if it didn't smell so awful. Yeah, legalization. I don't know. I think it's a funny thing because everyone's just, it's the only thing that anyone who likes weed ever talks about. Oh, it should be legal. It should be legal. It's good for you. Sure. I mean, there are plenty of things which are worse for you, which are legal, right? And that's one of the big arguments of it. But I don't see why it's not if it's so easy to, it's so easy to get now, almost easier than if it were legal.
But you don't understand why it isn't legal?
Oh, I think I read some history about it. Too much of a competition to the cotton trade, so
yeah.
At least.
And wood. Wood products, like lumber, was what it was about to replace in terms of creating paper, creating building materials.
Do you think that would still be the case?
It still has, you know, all that versatility. Whether people will adapt to it, I think slowly, and it depends... But because it's easy to grow, I think maybe, yeah, because of our sort of focus now on renewable materials, it would make sense to move to a fast-growing plant substitute to something like wood, which, depending on the genetics of it, can take, you know, a long, long time. That aside, it's interesting. Like, I do think that legalization takes away a lot of the problems of marijuana, which is the big one. Is it's a gateway drug, and why is it a gateway drug? Because the man who sells you weed sells you other things. That's the only way you could describe it as a gateway drug. Because otherwise, the argument is it's the first drug you try, but it's not. The first drug you try as a child is sugar. Sugar is like the first stimulant that you try, and you get high off it, and you get buzzed at your, you know, friend's birthday party when you have your first Coca-Cola and a piece of birthday cake, and you're bouncing off the walls. That's your first high, and then you drink caffeine in Coca-Cola, or you drink it in coffee, and that becomes your first sort of...
But sugar's in everything. Sugar's in fruit and vegetables. Do you mean refined?
I'm talking about concentrated. Like, you know, you don't get 45 grams of sugar... In a typical piece of fruit,
right.
So in the same way, cocaine is like the coca leaf, but refined into this chaos. In that the coca leaf, it doesn't do you horrible damage if you chew it and walk around all day. There are groups in the world that have done that for thousands of years without any chaos coming to their society. It just gives you a bit of a buzz.
I mean, societies were destroyed, but...
Well, only by Spanish invaders, and had nothing to do with the cocaine, or rather the coca plant. But that's a different history. but, yeah.
Do you think that it would stop being a gateway drug if it was legalized? Because the source that people were getting from is, like, a more legitimate, shall we say?
What I'm saying is that if the person who sells you weed doesn't sell cocaine... you're not as likely to try. Because I have... The only time it's ever happened to me is in all the years of smoking weed, it happened once. I was living in Florida I met this pot dealer who came round and sold dime bags out of like the
fanny pack.
No, like the hem of his pants. He'd just stick them in, and he sold these $10 dime bags. And he comes, knocks on the door every night, and goes, "Do you guys need anything?" We go, "Oh, I'll have a $10 worth, thanks." Roll a blunt and smoke it. And then one night he knocks on the door and he goes, "Do you guys need anything?" We're like, "Yeah, I'll have a dime bag." And he goes, "Oh, I haven't got any weed. Do you want some cocaine?" Like, no. Like, what the fuck? Why would you? You know, that's a whole different night to begin with. But it's still, like, that's, yeah, I can see why you would call it a gateway drug when people do that. Because then you're like, "Oh, yeah, I'll try this." And if you don't know better, that could end horribly.
Isn't it also to do with sort of education, though, for instance? So if you try when you like it, whatever, but you're not wise enough or learned enough to know that, like, yeah, cocaine is perhaps a bad move to make. And then you say, "Oh, this is. I enjoy the feeling of being high. I want to see what other opportunities are out there with similar sort of stimulants, whether they're depressors or sort of, I guess, stimulants."
Yeah, I agree with you that education is vital in drugs, in all drugs, because you need to see what happens when you take them, what the side effects truly are, and be honest about it. I don't think scare tactics is the answer. I don't think anybody does anymore because they know it doesn't work. Like, you have to tell kids the truth. And then they'll make informed decisions. And even if, you know, and even if that just means telling them how to take drugs a bit more safely, like knowing that you should drink lots of water if you're taking MDMA, knowing that if you take heroin, like if you don't have basically whatever it is, it's like adrenaline basically that they inject you with if you overdose and you wake up, like not knowing about stuff like that. You know, as we've seen the last couple of weeks here with the, what's it called, Fenadryl or whatever, the big epidemic with that, they're now trying to tell people about how to reverse the effect of it, so because so many people keep dying from it. So clearly education is vital. And if you're not spending money on the war on drugs, that frees up a lot of money to go spend on educating kids about these things.
But isn't it the United States who really has the war on drugs? And we're not talking about legalization in America.
But Canada and the UK have copied them. In the UK, about 5 or 6 years ago, they had a government paid for sort of
study.
The study on the effects of drugs and classification of drugs by experts, and the experts gave their opinion, and the Parliament at the time ignored what they said and actually upgraded the classifications of drugs when they actually said they should be downgraded.
Really?
Yeah, so it you could say it's America, but like under Harper's Canada, right, and even now, until things change under Trudeau's Canada, like we continue to harshly punish drugs usage, you know, usage, not so much usage, I think, in Vancouver at least, because
Vancouver, you're not even busted for heroin, meth, literally nothing.
No, it's true. Like, they don't bust people for possession here of anything.
Which is actually a smart model, I think, in a city like this.
Yeah, because it doesn't serve any purpose. That's what they've realized, is it only ties them up when they could be doing real good to help, you know, real problems further, you know. So it's pointless. Yeah. You're just adding to people's misery.
Yeah, but getting back to the legality thing, the one thing I would be concerned about is that if for a lot of young people who kind of are entranced by this idea of it being not allowed or a little bit forbidden, do you think that having weed be legal would make them want to go, "Oh, well, if weed's legal, I got to try something more, a little heavier"?
No, it definitely takes the sheen off weed. But with the right education, no one would ever try meth, because you just need to show people pictures of people that do a lot of meth and the way that they just, like, literally turn into walking corpses.
But you could say the same thing about smoking.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, my...
Yeah, but smoking is going out of fashion. Smoking is at its lowest rates it's ever been. It is. It just keeps going down because... Yeah, it's not cool, really, anymore. I mean, you go... Like, I'm a smoker, and, like, I feel like I'm smoking with, like, just... the dregs of people outside. We all just look so decrepit, and I'm like, "Oh, do I really belong with these people?" I'm like, "Oh."
It's an IT crowd episode. Yeah, you're in Soviet Russia, yeah, with your cigarette out in the cold rooftop.
Yeah, like it used to be the cool thing, but it really isn't anymore. People cool. I think even like at teenage levels, like the cool kids now vape is, you know, what they've moved on to.
In my high school, it was actually cool not to do drugs, which is kind of surprising.
Did you go to a Christian school? Or?
No, it was a public high school, but we had such a strong, I felt like, health program that educated...
Did you go to school in Glee? Is that what happened?
You've got me. I actually did go to the school from Glee. Midwest, same thing.
Sierra, were you one of the cool kids?
Oh, yeah. And you
no, did, I was actually
on,
part of the Glee club,
Let's
though.
Just verify, though. You did go to school in the Midwest of America.
Right, but we actually had a really big heroin problem.
So wait, there's a big heroin problem, but everyone's like, drugs aren't cool.
Well, yeah, they're like the dregs, the people who...
Oh, that's just mean.
I'm not saying you do heroin, but no, we had a serious problem with it because heroin was the same price as weed, apparently. What I heard, I never tried to buy any.
You got expensive weed where you're from, apparently.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, well, that's... So there we go. Cheaper weed is the solution, I think.
Cheaper weed and cheaper weed in Texas. That's what we've concluded.
All right, that is 10:03, so we will have to end it there. We will be back next week with another half-hour sketch comedy, another half-hour chit-chat and wicked music, but we're going to leave you tonight with Program and Everything at Once. Any last words, Connor?
Good night.
Sierra?
It's been great chatting with you and offending everyone. Bye.
And you can direct
send
message,
your hate mail through Simon. Through
WhiteNoiseUBC@gmail.com. But without further ado, here's Program.